And as you're being seated, you can take your Bibles this morning and find your place in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and we will be there momentarily. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Of course, today, Mother's Day, and we're going to take a short break, a short detour from our series on worship to see and look at a message regarding godly influences. And even though this is a Mother's Day message, the message will be applicable to each one of us that seeks to be and influence in our communities and in our world and to those that come across our path. But Albert S. Taylor once said this, 1% of a child's time is spent under the influence of the church, 7% under the influence of public schools, and 92% under the influence of the home. Chuck Swindoll went on to say, there is no more influential role on earth than a mother's. Abraham Lincoln was recorded as saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And again, while these quotes deal and are talking about the influence of a mother, the truth this morning is that influence is immeasurable. The influence that you have as a child of God this morning is immeasurable. You know, as parents, even just as adults, not even as a mom or a dad necessarily, but just adults, we should desperately want our children to see Jesus in us. Not just hear about him, but we ought to want our faith to be real. And you say, well, why? What's the purpose of having a faith that is real? Because, you know, children, they're not easily fooled, are they? I mean, you ask a child their opinion, they're going to give you their opinion. Whether you like it or not, they're just going to, I mean, they're going to be truthful with you, whether you like it or not. And listen, children, they know when it's fake. And they know when it's real. And this morning, we're looking at three truths from the faith of Lois and Eunice. Truths every godly mother, every godly father, every godly adult who wants to have influence in a child's life should embrace. You're there, 2 Timothy 1, and notice there, if you would, verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5. The Bible says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to just preach you this very simple message, a mother's faith. A mother's faith. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And thank you now again for this opportunity we have now to open your word, to see a truth that might help us and challenge us and encourage us. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And Lord, may the message be a help, a challenge, encouragement to these your people. And Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so again, there's three truths that I want us to see this morning from the faith of Lois and Eunice, the first being this, a faith in the Lord Jesus alone. A faith in the Lord Jesus alone. You're there, 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Notice, if you would, beginning at verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And then look, if you would, verse number 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And then skip down, verse number 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then skip over chapter 3, 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 3. And notice verse 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so here we have the Apostle Paul, and he is making it clear here in 2 Timothy that their faith was rooted in Jesus Christ, that their faith was rooted in the Savior. So often today, we teach our children to have faith in everything and anything but Jesus. We teach them to have faith in self. We teach them to have faith in religion. We teach them to have faith in success or money. We teach them to have faith even in the church. We teach them to have faith in making sure they go to college and get a degree and get a good job so they can make a lot of money. And we tell them to put their faith in a lot of things as they grow up. But the truth of the matter this morning is this: when we teach our children to have faith in anything else besides Jesus, they are headed down a dead-end road. Again, you teach them that faith in self, that's a dead end. You teach them that faith in religion, that's a dead end. You teach them that faith in success or money, again, or even the church, dead ends. Because at the end of the day, and we looked at it a little bit in Sunday school, it's only the Lord Jesus Christ who gives eternal life. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who makes life worth living. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We have here from this one verse in verse number 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, just in those little words, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice. We see that Eunice and Lois, they had faith in Jesus Christ. But here's the best part. They didn't just keep that faith to themselves. They took that faith and they passed it on to Timothy. And the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is this: are you passing on your faith? Are you passing on what you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? And so we see a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. But then secondly, we see a faith that is genuine. A faith that is genuine. Notice there what it says in verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Now that phrase, unfeigned faith, it means it was a real faith. That it was a sincere faith. That it was a heartfelt faith. That it was a non-hypocritical faith. The Greek word unfeigned means undisguised, sincere, non-hypocritical. In other words, this just simply means this morning that they had a faith that was real. Because I want you to realize something this morning, there is such a thing as fake faith. And we see the danger of hypocritical faith this morning. Matthew 23, Jesus warned of the Pharisees, calling them hypocrites multiple times. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. The Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What a sobering thought that is this morning. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Judas had that kind of faith. He followed Jesus outwardly, but his heart was far from God. As adults this morning for our children, we need to not just look spiritual, but we need to be spiritual. Don't just settle for, you know, appearances, but pursue the authentic. Don't just come to church and have faith on Sunday, and then Monday through Saturday live like the world. Because again, kids, again, they pick up on this. And they'll say, well, if it's not real Monday through Saturday, why are we going to need it on Sunday? But then we see the evidence of genuine faith. Look if you would, or you don't have to turn there. James 2:26. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. A Puritan once said this: "We are saved by faith alone, but not by the kind of faith that is alone." You see, simply put, this morning, faith without fruit is no faith at all. Listen, if you believe the plane can fly, but never get on it, then guess what? You're not going anywhere. You can stand in the terminal of an airport and say, oh, that's a mighty fine plane. That's a nice plane. That's going to get me from point A to point B, hopefully, with the way our world is today. But if you just stand there and look at it, you're not getting from point A to point B. It's like we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. You go to jump out of an airplane. You say, oh, that looks like a nice parachute. Eh, I don't need it. Whew. You're going to find out very quickly you needed that parachute. Real faith results in trust. Real faith results in obedience. Real faith results in transformation. There was a well-known pastor, and his mother, while he could explain it, she couldn't explain complex theology. But she lived her faith. She read the Bible. She quoted scripture. She prayed over him, sometimes even weeping as she prayed. That's the faith that marks a life. 2 Corinthians 13:5, the Bible says, "Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith." Timothy saw his mother's faith. He saw his grandmother's faith. I believe, you know, sometimes I think we read scripture and we just kind of gloss over things. But if his mother had faith and his grandmother had faith and now he's going to have faith, that's three generations of a family that had faith in Jesus. Now listen, I don't know necessarily about all they had or didn't have or whatever the case may be, but they had Jesus. They had a faith. They had I think a good word for it would be they had a legacy. They had something that they were leaving behind. What about us this morning? And because his mother had faith, because his grandmother had faith, and because he saw that faith, he lived it from the time he was an infant all the way going forward. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." That kind of faith, that can't be faked. And again, listen, kids, they know. And the question we have to ask ourselves this morning, is your faith genuine? And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see a faith that passes on. A faith that passes on. Again, 2 Timothy 1:5. "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first," that's the key, "in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Again, we talked about this in Sunday school this morning, but Timothy's faith, it wasn't automatic. You don't just become a Christian because your parents were a Christian or because your grandparents were a Christian. But he was greatly influenced by a legacy of sincere faith. In fact, in Acts chapter 16, it suggests to us that Timothy's father was actually not a believer. But his mom and his grandmom picked up the spiritual responsibility. And because of that, God blessed it. Acts 16:1, the Bible says, "Then came heed to Deborah and Listeria, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus," or Timothy, "the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek." And so Timothy, he was growing up, he had a mom who believed, a dad who wouldn't believe. What was he going to do? Well, thankfully, we know he lived out the faith of both mom and grandma. Proverbs 22:6, the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." Every parent this morning, every adult this morning, leaves a legacy. The question is, what kind of legacy are you leaving? Is it materialism? Is it success? Is it sports? Or is it a love for Christ and for prayer and for scripture and for service? Charles Spurgeon, when talking about his mother's influence, said this: "My mother pleaded with us around the table. She read scripture, warned us, and prayed prayers I will never forget. Prayers that pierced my heart. I can still hear her voice. Oh, that my son might live before thee. No preacher, no church worker, no mentor, according to Spurgeon himself, ever had more influence on Spurgeon than his godly mother. So, parent, this morning, listen, you can bring your kids to church. You can teach them Bible verses. You can discipline them. You can try to disciple them. But if your faith isn't real, none of that will matter. Because if they don't see Jesus in you, if they don't see a love for him in your words, in your worship, in your walk, then they won't want what you have. So today the question is this: will you commit to live out a faith in Jesus alone? A faith that is genuine and a faith that passes on. This morning, Timothy was who he was simply because of a mother's faith. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.